Aaron Rodgers taking a little visit to the Steelers facility today. See if the Steelers get a deal done. Doesn't seem like it will, but just the most recent news in the Aaron Rodgers sweepstakes. J.J. McCarthy, Vikings, getting calls about potential trades for him. See if the Vikings want to do anything about that. Also seeming like it won't happen. And then some NFL proposed rule changes. All that and more. This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns. Someone's got to get that six or seven spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Happy Friday. This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast by Power 88 Dean Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. I'm Chris Kostich. With me, CJ Medeiros. Thank you for tuning in amongst March Madness going on right now. I actually have one of the games up on my TV at the moment, but got to pay attention to the brackets. Got to pay attention to the bets. CJ, how
if
much
your bracket's not already busted, that is.
Yeah, if it's not already busted. I don't care about the busted brackets as long as I have as long as I have a good like percentage and I
Yeah, you know the percentage bets. It's important, yeah.
Yeah. How much March Madness have you been watching, CJ?
I caught the tail end. I've been checking in on like I saw the Clemson McNeese thing. That was pretty much it. I'm not super big into college basketball, but I do make a bracket. I was one of the few who did not bite on the Purdue High Point upset. I picked Purdue, so I'm happy with that.
Yeah, I'm happy with it too. I had Drake as well, but let's get back to actual football now. That's your 30-second long March Madness run. Aaron Rodgers took a visit to the Pittsburgh facility today, indicating a potential deal with the team forthcoming. Schefter did say, I want to say a couple days ago, or at least earlier this week, maybe it was last week. I forget when exactly it was, but Schefter did come out and say that Rodgers is currently in a position where he's not really in a rush to make a decision right now. This comes with, of course, three teams that I think are the highest odds to potentially land Aaron Rodgers are the Steelers, the Giants, and of course the Vikings. Because we live in a simulation and shit happens like that. But this would be an interesting grab if the Steelers could get him. It pairs him up with DK Metcalf, George Pickens, Jalen Warren as the running back. I mean, the Steelers' O-line isn't too shabby either. So, I mean, if you get him, then you already got the targets for him and you can get the ball to him, to these targets. But they do have Jackass himself, Art Smith, as the OC. So I don't know how far you can really get with that at that point, but we'll see. CJ, your thoughts?
Ladies and gentlemen, I think it's time I tell you the Aaron Rodgers rule of thumb. It's called... don't take anything seriously until something happens. You know, Aaron Rodgers, I feel like he knows where he wants to go. And I feel like his inner circle knows. But at the end of the day, he doesn't really want to play again. I mean, he does, but that will come second to the drama he can create. That's what this is. He wants everyone obsessing over him. He wants it to be this whole, ooh, will he sign with the Giants? Will he sign with the Steelers? To which anybody who even remotely cares about football will scream, oh my God, pick a team and get off my TV. You know, at least until you actually need to be there to play. Because this whole Aaron Rodgers watch thing is just the most aggravating scenario that I think we've seen a decent bit as far as quarterbacks go. Actually, no. The last most aggravating one was that whole, oh, will Green Bay finally trade? You guessed it, Aaron Rodgers. Like, once again, I feel like he knows where he wants to go. He just loves the drama. That's literally what this is. So he's, you know, he's now left the facility. Two sides have yet to come to an agreement. And are you shocked? Who here, who among us, or who listening actually thought, oh, today's the day he's going to sign? He's going to drag it out as long as possible. He's going to go on Pat McAfee and just play coy and go, well, I don't know. I'm going to go to my darkness retreat and do some ayahuasca and think about it. How am I the only one who's tired of this? And here's the thing.
I'll tell you who else is tired of it. Cam Hayward's tired of it.
You know, I saw what Cam Hayward said, and he's like, you either want to be a Steeler or you don't. Just cut the crap. And Cam Hayward, if you're listening to this, you're probably not, but if you are, you are absolutely right. And I'm not even a Steelers fan. From a Pats fan speaking to you, you are correct, 110%. Like, and I just, God, it's so frustrating.
And when you also couple that with the fact that this could, like, Cam Hayward is at the end of his career, he doesn't, like, he does not want to deal with bullshit. He wants to win a ring.
No, or at least he absolutely has every right not to want to deal with any of that Rodgers nonsense.
Yeah.
And I keep saying this, I'll say it again. Is Pittsburgh really that great place? Because Mike Tomlin, it's a well-established fact, he can't control a locker room. If you just look at the insane amount of divas he churns out. So you've got Rodgers. Do you really want to throw gasoline on the fire? Because if you sign Rodgers, you're pairing him up with DK Metcalf, who's good for at least 2 to 3 freakouts a season. Remember that one time he got thrown out of a game and tried to come back in, or how he will just like throw his helmet in disgust? He hasn't grown. He still does that. And then there's George Pickens, who will literally fight you if you look at him wrong. Didn't he like threaten a reporter not too long ago or something? Like, oh, come to my house and say that. Think I read something like that. I'll get back to you on that. But yeah, but like you mentioned about the odds, Steelers do have the best, followed by the Giants, followed by the Vikings. Even though watching Pittsburgh implode by signing him would be hysterical, and I don't mean implode record or performance-wise, I just mean the drama. It does make the most sense, because if you're the Vikings, you're probably going with J.J. McCarthy. More on that in a bit. But why the Giants? If you're the Giants, do you really think you're a quarterback away? Like, the only reason I would think you would go to the Giants is if they draft a youngin' like a Shador Sanders guy and have him learn behind Rodgers, which wouldn't necessarily be the worst thing. Oh, and by the way, in case you can look right here on the little blurb we got there, Cam Hayward, oh, and it's gone.
And it's gone.
And it's back. Thank you. You're very generous. Basically, it says, so I'll read it off to you. I'd rather get it done. I don't know what ends up happening. I'm ready to move on from free agency. He's absolutely right. Cam Hayward is so right. Aaron Rodgers just loves the drama. Dude, if you're going to sign. And basically, just stop wasting our time. That's all I got. I can only phrase it in so many ways.
Yeah. Yeah, you really can. It's this Rodgers debacle is just, it's out of control. And you can see there also Cam Hayward ain't doing a darkness retreat. I don't need any of that crap. Mm-hmm. Rodgers last year, 4-12 record with the Jets. Just short of 4K in yards, 28 touchdowns, 11 interceptions last year. As reported by Diana Rossini pretty recently, he left the facility and they haven't come to an agreement at this time. As we were saying, from what Schefter was saying, no deal between Rodgers and the Steelers currently close at the moment. It just, Schefter already reported that he's not rushing this process at all, but it's going to be interesting to see what happens. It's also a little fun to be like, oh, imagine Rodgers pairing up with Malik Nabers or Rodgers with Aaron Jones, Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison with a Kevin O'Connell type offense. And even if, say, he does go to the Vikings, I wouldn't rule out, like, I still don't think the Vikings would be listening to any trade offers for J.J. McCarthy either. Like, because when you look at McCarthy, like if you're looking at McCarthy versus McCarthy and Rodgers, like McCarthy's your future and Rodgers is what, 1 year, 2 year rental at best.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Let's get away from this Rodgers topic. I'm sick.
Amen.
Same. Yeah. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the JJ McCarthy potential or not potential trade. This is the Fumble Rooski podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns. Someone's got to get that 6 or 7 spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Rooski podcast. Chris Kostich, CJ Medeiros. JJ McCarthy's been getting a lot of traction recently in terms of potential trade talks. Missed the entirety of this past year with a torn meniscus that he suffered during the preseason, which, if I remember correctly, he actually didn't realize that he tore his meniscus and was just ready to just keep on rolling. And then he went to the team doctors and was like, yeah, my knee's bugging me. Nothing crazy. And then they were like, no, dude, it's actually something crazy. You tore your meniscus, pal. So it kind of goes with what we were saying with the whole Rodgers thing. And like, right before we went to break, if you do get Rodgers by any means necessary, if you really want to bring Rodgers on, then who knows? Maybe you have JJ McCarthy learn from Rodgers, use this next year to really get like an actual a development year. That's how I'll call it. Another development year, because how much developing are you really doing on a torn meniscus? You're not really moving around. Maybe you're throwing the ball, just having a little fun tossing the pigskin around. But outside of that, you're really not developing at all because you got a torn meniscus. You're not like, yeah, you're rehabbing it, but that's about it. Yeah, you can use that development time as well throughout this summer, throughout this offseason in general. I don't know if he's completely healed from that torn meniscus. I'm not going to speak on that. But this offseason's your time to develop into the quarterback that you need to be. So, yeah. CJ, your thoughts.
Now, McCarthy, as you know, is a first-round pick of the Vikings in the 2024 NFL Draft, national champion at Michigan, ended his senior season with over 2,900 yards, 22 touchdowns, 4 picks, 72.3% completion percentage as well. But that's just got to suck. I mean, you know, when you draft a quarter, really not even just quarterback, any player at all. When you draft the guy and then he doesn't even make it to the, like, not even game one, doesn't even make it to the first game of the regular season, goes down in preseason or even worse, training camp. It happens, unfortunately. For example, Kevin White of the Chicago Bears, literally promising receiver out of West Virginia, and then doesn't even see the field. Same thing happened with New England Patriots, offensive tackle Isaiah Wynn. Literally, I don't even think made it to the preseason before his knee exploded. And yeah, I'm hoping McCarthy can bounce back, and I think he will, because he's got a great support system around him, especially. I mean, maybe the offensive line did get a little worse by comparison, but they re-upped Aaron Jones. You've got Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison and TJ Hockenson to boot. And your defense as a whole is still pretty solid. You're able to keep your defensive coordinator, Brian Flores. That's amazing. But what I like is that there, with the whole Sam Darnold success, right, there was a lot of buzz of, oh, my God, will they trade J.J. McCarthy? We were talking about it at one point. Because if Darnold made a really deep playoff run, then, you know, there might have actually been a decision. But Darnold flaming out, you know, losing to the Lions in week 18, and then that disastrous playoff showing was a blessing in disguise because it made the right choice abundantly clear. McCarthy is their guy. And how do we know that he's their guy? Because they rejected Aaron Rodgers, apparently. Rodgers and the Vikings were in talks, and, you know, Rodgers, you know, was just another guy they were looking at, and it got to the point where they said, you know what, Aaron, You have a great resume and all, but JJ is just our guy. And that's what I like. You know, the Vikings are actually willing to commit to, you know, the kid they spent a first round pick on. And regardless of anything, you know, I know Rodgers can be alluring for some teams, but I just like the fact that they're willing to commit to McCarthy.
I think you have to, like, I feel like you have to do right by yourself and at least give them a chance. Because it sounded like, at least in the preseason or during training camp, that all roads were leading pretty well for J.J. McCarthy up until the meniscus tear, too. So I feel like you have to at least give him some sort of shot for this coming season.
Oh, yeah, absolutely you do. Because you don't, you know, I'm just going to say it. You don't want to end up like the 49ers where you use a first-round pick on the quarterback just for him to, like, never see the field, injury or not. Yeah. Because I don't care what anyone says. You have egg on your face if you go down that route. It's a really ridiculous route to go down.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, all in all, don't trade J.J. McCarthy. And the Vikings are doing just that, at least for now. Who knows? Things could change in the next 6 months. We're gonna take another quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the new proposed rule changes from around the league. This is the Fumble Rooski podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns. Someone's got to get that 6 or 7 spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Rooski podcast, powered by Power 88 Dean Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting, Chris Kostich, CJ Medeiros. It's that time of the year again where, you know, we're in the middle of the off season and you get some teams that throw in some potential rule changes. Some of them get pushed through, some of them don't. But, you know, in this time of the year where the NFL news cycle is a little slow, it brings up some good talking points. First, we're going to look at what the Packers did and what they proposed. Bunch of pussies over there in Green Bay. Packers officially proposed a rule change banning the tush push. Of course, the Packers just lost to the Eagles in the NFL divisional round game. Or was that the wild card? No, it was a wild card. I don't know. I don't remember at this point. Either way, they lost to the Eagles. And they got plenty of tush pushes there. They also lost to the Eagles week 1 of last season. When you look at the success rate, so when you look at the tush push itself, it's mainly run by two teams. It's the Eagles and the Bills. This past season, the success rate, what was that?
I said to varying degrees of success.
Yeah, very, very varying. When you look at both teams in total, for both teams' success rate total, 87% success rate between both the Eagles and the Bills. Adam, our executive producer, I would like you to please pull up the stats for the separate teams, please. But look, I think that we're shown in the playoffs that, yeah, obviously, like, the tush push is a very effective play, but it's not the end-all, be-all, and it's actually a stoppable play. You can actually stop the play from happening as long as, I mean, theoretically, if you look at the way the Bills performed in the playoffs and try to do the tush push, they looked at like absolute fucking idiots because they kept doing the same thing over and over and over again. And guess who watches film? The Kansas City Chiefs. The Eagles just have the best O-line in the league. They have a quarterback that squats 500. So yeah, they're going to be pretty damn successful. All in all, it's just silly to try to ban a play in general. It's almost like Mel Kiper saying that they need a ban Cover 2. Like, you might as well just handcuff the other person. Like, the tush push only happens on fourth and short, third and short, if you're the Eagles or the Bills or just any team for that matter. Does it mean that they get it every single time? No. And obviously the percentage that we're looking at by ESPN analytics shows that. Here's an idea. How about you make it so that the offense, in this case, the Eagles and the Bills, don't get themselves into fourth and short, third and short. Prevent them from getting third and one, fourth and one, third and two, you name it. Don't let them get it to that point. Simple as that. Play better defense. And you look at the stats there, 2022, the Eagles had their highest success rate at 93%, 83%. And of course, that year was the first year the Eagles really incorporated the tush push, the brotherly shove, as most people call it, and they ended up going to the Super Bowl that year. 23, they weren't as successful, and that was just an all-around shit show that the Eagles had that season as well. And last year, they were able to up their numbers. CJ, I'm going to assume I already know what your answer to this is going to be. Tush push out or tush push in?
And yeah. I'm not going to lie to you. I just haven't heard any convincing arguments as to why this should be banned. And I'm not saying arguments that I agree with or arguments that would sway me. I mean an actual convincing argument, like something with thought, something with structure. Because the main consensus is, and I quote, drum roll please, it's just not a football play. Who the hell are you to say that?
I hate that argument.
Not a football play. You're going to look at me, a guy who doesn't play football, and you, not you, Chris, the royal you, who also does not play football, and tell me it's not a football play. It's like, you know, this might be outside of our area of expertise. I'm just thinking here. And
like what is the definition of a football play?
Please. Yeah, that is, if it happens on the gridiron, it's a football play. I don't know what to tell you here. Like, that is such a stupid, weak, just the classic appeal to emotion argument of, well, it's just not right. Okay, tell me how it's just not right, or kindly take your opinion and just shove it up your ass. I know it's crude, but no, that's what it is. That's what you can do with your opinion. It's a stupid opinion. The only argument that I've heard that even makes remotely a lick of sense is how apparently defenders like shoving each other at the line is not allowed on defense. Yep. And it's like, so why should that be allowed on offense? That is the only like remotely rational argument that I've heard. And I'm like, you know, that's a solid argument.
I can live with that argument.
Huh?
I could actually live with that argument because
can live with it. I think it's a solid argument, but that's the only one. And to which, you know, like the only like remotely solid argument to which I say, you know, that's a solid question. Maybe defenses should be allowed to push each other, you know, to retaliate. That's the thing. And like, you don't ban it.
And here's my response to the whole defenders can't push the backside on a guy, right? Like of their fellow linemen. The reason why that's a rule is because of safety issues. The tush push, I don't think that there's ever actually been an injured player on a tush push play. The reason
hold up, Chris, before you continue, I want to address something real quick.
Yes.
I just heard every Eagles fan in like a 15 mile radius from where we are say, even though we're not within 15 miles of each other, but 15 miles of our houses say, no, not Eagles, Chiefs fans going, Chris Jones. What about Chris Jones? His neck got hurt on the tush push. All right. Time to add some context. No, he did it to himself. If you look at the way he lined up on his side. His flank was facing the Eagles' offensive line. If you lined up horizontally and not vertically, of course you're going to get hurt. Also, he was offsides on that play anyway, if that's the play I'm thinking of, and I'm pretty sure it is. So he literally got himself hurt. And by the way, the NFL already did a study and it said no players got hurt on the tush push. And if you have the audacity to bring up Chris Jones, next time tell him to line up properly because, and I am not kidding, it was quite literally his fault. If he lines up correctly, you know, not in the neutral zone and actually vertical instead of horizontal, he doesn't get hurt. Change my mind.
Yeah. Like the thing with the defensive side of things in terms of the rule is it's an actual safety issue, like especially on field goals. Like you never see anyone push the backside of another guy on a field goal. And it's especially, and another rule too, is that you can't line up nose up with the set with the long snapper because they're like, these guys are actually in a vulnerable position compared to the defense. Like then you got that.
Yeah.
Whether those actual injuries have happened because of that. Whereas the tush push, like Chris Jones just did it to himself. And to my knowledge, there hasn't been any other injury due to that.
Yeah. And that is something that a lot of them just flat out don't want to admit, I guess.
Yeah.
But even now, still, I just can't think of any reason to get rid of it other than I am a butthurt NFC East fan, or the Eagles beat me this season, or I'm a Chiefs fan or whatever, and I refuse to admit that Chris Jones hurt himself.
And there you go. 0% injury rate from tush push play in 2024. Another thing I will throw out there is, I mean, this could be an argument for against the tush push or even to keep the tush push. In college, that is a rule. You can't put, they call it the Bush push because of Reggie Bush pushing Matt Leiner into the end zone back in 05 against Notre Dame to win the game and to keep their 30 win streak going on or whatever it was en route to losing in the national title game to Texas that year. That's an actual rule in college. But to my point, this is the pros. So
not yeah, exactly. That's the pros. And by the way, if we're really going to go down that argument, to which, you know what my response is, Chris, if you said that to me and I didn't know you, I would say, okay, well, in college, to make a catch on the sideline, you just need to get 1 foot down instead of two. So yep. Does that mean the way the NFL does it is wrong? Also, in college, you can have two guys wear the same jersey number so long as one's on offense and one's on defense. Should the NFL adopt that too? No. So if you say, well, it's not allowed in college, that is a really just flimsy argument. And if you have ever used that listening at home, if you've ever used that in an actual debate, just be better.
Yeah, 100%. Speaking of the Eagles, they also put in a rule change as well. Theirs is, I think I can agree with it. Like, of the rule changes that we're going to be talking about, I could be potentially for this rule change. The Eagles proposed a rule aligning playoff overtime rules with the regular season. So that meaning that both teams in overtime are guaranteed a possession. So just a refresher, regular season overtime rules. Team that gets the ball first, if they score a touchdown, game's over. If they kick a field goal, the other team gets a chance to rebuttal. Overtime, both teams get a chance. Doesn't matter if it's a touchdown, field goal, both teams will have a chance to possess the ball. I could be for this. I'm also kind of against it at the same time. I think of it like the way that the NHL has it, right? Obviously two different sports, but it you can kind of compare the two at this point because NHL also has the same thing going for them in terms of different overtime rules during regular season and the playoffs. Regular season overtime rules is 3-on-3 for 5 minutes, and then they go to a shootout. Playoff, they go straight up 5-on-5 for 20 minutes, just like they do during regulation. And I see that more as, you know, in hockey, you're more so just trying to save legs at that rate because there's 82 games in the season. And that's kind of how I took it with the NFL and keeping the same rules for the regular season compared to the playoffs because, yeah, obviously, like, when you look at the regular season between the NHL and the NFL, both seasons are or the NFL is significantly shorter than the NHL, but one is more, I'm not going to get into that. I'm not going to say one is more physically grueling than the other, actually. I'm not going to get into that, but it would suffice more to a similar point as to what the NHL is doing, though. That's kind of what I'm getting at. If that makes sense.
I don't watch hockey, Chris, so I'll just take your word for it. All I know is you got that new fresh haircut, and so you've sold me, kind of, not really, no offense. But because I just don't watch hockey.
So. My point is, like, I'd rather just keep it the way it is just to save legs.
I see.
Because that's an extra possession where maybe you get a terrible injury.
Yeah, it's known to happen. I'm going to be abundantly clear. I think it's stupid. In fact, in an ideal world, do you know what we do? Do you know what we do, Chris?
What do we do? Tell me.
We would just go back to the old overtime for regular and postseason because nobody had an issue with it. Everybody loved it until they lost. For example, 2018 AFC Championship, the New England Patriots beat the Kansas City Chiefs in overtime, as you know. The very next day, Chiefs star tight end Travis Kelce had an absolute temper tantrum on social media where he cried and he screamed about not getting the ball, said the game gone asterisk, it was unfair. He literally had like a full-on tantrum over it. And then another time in the playoffs, the Chiefs beat the Bills. They got the ball first in overtime and easily put the game away. And what did Travis Kelce have to say about it? Nothing. Not a peep. Literally, like, nothing came from him. And so once again, nobody had an issue with the old overtime rule unless they lost. That's what it was. So on one hand, he's just being a sore loser because, you know, maybe your defense should have played better. Or, you know, maybe not line up off sides. You know, that's a no-brainer. But then, of course, then when he wins, that's fine. And you want to know what's really funny? Then, of course, after that, they try to propose the OT rule changes, and Kansas City voted against it after calling for it after 2018. So, yeah, overall, nobody cares. The old ones are fine because, you know, it actually prioritizes defense. You know, God forbid you plan here. And it's like, oh, well, it's not fair. Tough. That's tough. Like, I don't know what you want. What you want and what you want is stupid. And look at that stat. 7 of the 12 overtime playoff games were won on the opening possession. So that means 5 weren't. Right? 5 weren't. That's damn near a 50-50 split. And look, there's another stat that I saw about the coin toss winner and the percentage of games, like that one, the one that just popped up right there. 52.7% of overtime NFL games, has won. They won. Look, and I'm not going to lie to you. That's a likely margin, right? It's a likely margin of victory. It's over 5 points. But still, it's not even a safe margin. You know what I mean? It's still within double digits. It's like not even 5. It's like, I just feel like it's so stupid. And that's the thing. That's including the new rule change where, you know, both teams now get the ball. It's just, I don't know. We got to stop coddling offense. That's really what it comes down to because, you know, like it basically is another step to basically eliminate defense from the game, which I know the league's not intending to do it, but that's what it's coming across as.
Yeah. Obviously, from my standpoint, like, it should just stay the way it is. Like I said, you're saving legs, and the stats show that you're better off just keeping it the way it is. And I thought it was interesting the Eagles proposed this as well because they didn't have a single game that went to overtime that I can think of, and if they did, they didn't lose it. So moving on to the final rule change we'll get into. The Lions and the Vikings both proposed this. I'm surprised the Lions did. I'm not surprised that the Vikings did. Both teams though proposing a playoff format seeding updated playoff format where they seed teams based on solely record instead of division winners. No, 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 no. Stop it. Stop it right now. Let's stop. Let's.
Hey guys. I don't think Chris likes the rule.
Let's see how other leagues do this. The NBA. What's going on with the NBA right now, CJ? How are the ratings?
Ratings are in the tubes, Chris.
What's their playoff format? Did you know that the NBA has divisions?
Yeah, it does, but it doesn't really matter. The only reason they have divisions is so that they can have an even 82 games.
And divisions, like, division rivalries.
Oh, you said what happens in the NBA, I just meant with how the league's doing. Sorry about that.
No, but also,
as far as the NBA goes, stupid, and so is the playing game. Just want to get that off my chest. And it's not an NBA podcast, but still. Then I know why the Lions Vikings did it, as you can see. They were the fifth seed in 2004, despite the fact they went 4-13. And this argument about the different seeds and stuff, you know, getting higher or lower, depending on whether or not you won, really started, I don't remember the year, but I remember it was the Seattle Seahawks went 7-9 and made the playoffs. And there were teams that were better than them who didn't. And they're just like, really? And look, and I don't care that they actually like won in the wild card round. I really don't. It's not something that I care about. But still, they shouldn't have been there. And people will say, well, the Vikings lost in the first round. My counterpoint is, so did the Lions. The Lions lost too, but you conveniently want to forget about that. Oh, by the way, for those who don't know, the Houston Texans have signed offensive tackle Trent Brown. To which I say, well, I hope you start winning, because if you don't, he will check out. As a Patriots fan, I know this. But now you listen here. By the way, it's a one-year, $3 million deal, in case you were wondering. I will tell you this. This, I don't think, would get rid, essentially, of divisions.
I'm not saying it would.
Basically, if you win your division, right, you're guaranteed a playoff spot, but you're not guaranteed home field advantage. Now, I'm sorry. I don't care if they lost in the first round, really don't. There's no reason the team that won 14 games in the NFL should be relegated to the wild card, to not even a top four seed even. That is just ridiculous. And, God, look, it's not doing away with divisions. Basically, if you win your division, you still get your ticket punched to the playoffs. It's just if you're from a certain division NFC South looking directly at you, then no, you don't get to, you know, to get home field advantage, because plain and simple, you didn't earn it. You did not. If you just squeak by with a 10-7 or 9-8 record, and there's a wild card team that won 12 games who played in a tough division, you're not better than them. It's more likely than not that you are, and you just flat out haven't earned it. So I keep hearing this argument of, well, it does away with divisions. No, no, it doesn't. And if you think that, please beat it out of your head.
I also just think entirely that if you do get rid, like, obviously you don't get rid of divisions, but you're more or less losing the division, like the division rivalry aspect of it, right?
Explain how. Yes. How are you losing the division rivalry aspect when winning your division would still guarantee you a spot in the playoffs?
Because, like,
if anything, it amplifies it, because it literally becomes one seed or bust. Not, oh, it's okay, we're not going to get the one seed, but at least you have home field advantage. Nah, it gives you a reason to strive for that one seed.
Yeah, obviously. But I'm saying, like, I'm just thinking about, like, the NBA and how, like, they basically, they don't do the seeding based on division, and the rivalries don't matter. Like, the Celtics and the Raptors are in the same division, but, like, that's not a rivalry anymore, whereas it was.
Well, yeah,
like,
because the winner isn't guaranteed a playoff spot in that league. That's literally the big difference. The fact that it's, you know, I just feel like this home field advantage really, like, is that really going to be the decider of what ends division rivalries? Because I got to tell you, I respectfully disagree. I don't think it is. Like, I don't see how, oh, well, if I make the playoffs, I'm not guaranteed division rivalry, or I'm not going to be guaranteed home field advantage. So I guess my division rivalry, I just don't care anymore. Like, how does that work? Because the NBA, like I said, it's not guaranteed.
It's not like,
so it really doesn't matter.
It's not like it's not like, I wouldn't say it's completely in the case of like, it, like division rivalries are going to get thrown out the window like next year. It's more of like an overtime type of thing, right? Like it's going to gradually get that way. That's what I fear.
How? Like I don't see how that happens. Like I really don't. Feel like no.
I mean, maybe I'm wrong if it doesn't end up happening. I mean, obviously we're just speaking in the sense of like, what if it does happen? What if it doesn't type of deal? But that's just what I feel like. But when you look at the other leagues and how they do the playoff formatting, like look at baseball, it's the top six, but the top three are always the division winners. And then the bottom three are the wild card spots. NHL, it's eight teams. You have your top, like both divisions and both conferences have their number one seed, and then the second or third seed in those divisions play each other, while the bottom wild card teams end up playing the higher seed for each division, and that's how they do it. So I think that just changing it all together is just silly. I don't know. I'm just not for it altogether. Like, just keep it the way it is. Like, you're not, like, if you do say that winning the division clinches a playoff spot automatically, yeah, like that's everywhere. You essentially automatically clinch a playoff spot. But I feel like that if you take away the fact that there's no home field advantage, then yeah, you're going to strive for the one seed. But like, if you're so far out from potentially being the one seed, then what's the point in that? Like, I feel like, yeah, regular season games still do matter regardless, but I feel like you're just taking away from that aspect at the same time.
Tell
me. So if the Lions and the Vikings week 18 game on Sunday Night Football, let's look at that. Both teams going in with the same record. The winner gets home field advantage throughout the entirety of the playoffs. The other team gets dropped to the 5 seed, and that's it. Okay. Now you put in this seeding-based playoff format where, all right, Vikings win. Let's say we have this playoff format and we have this game. The Lions win. They have the 1 seed. The Vikings lose. It doesn't feel like it matters as much because now they're the 2 seed. And they...
Possible outcome of getting the number one overall pick doesn't, you know, surely won't motivate them. They're going to be so mad they didn't get it. And that, like I said, I want to circle back to my argument about this. It's literally going to make teams play that much harder for the first overall pick, knowing that you are not guaranteed home field advantage. You are literally fighting harder to get the number one overall pick. And it's going to be, I mean, number one overall seed. And it's going to be a lot sweeter when it comes against a division rival.
I feel like you're fighting harder, though. Like, how are you not fighting as hard in comparison to having the 1 seed compared to the 5 seed? I don't get how you're not fighting as hard. Like, how are you fighting harder for the potential of having the 1 seed compared to the 2 seed? I don't get how that How does that work?
Dude, it's literally an issue of pride. You played football.
If that's an issue of pride, then how are you telling me that the Vikings aren't like didn't fight hard enough against the Lions to get the one seed compared to the five seed? They lost, but does it mean that they're fighting that much harder when they know that they're going to end up getting the two seed anyways?
So are you insinuating that they're not going to?
No, I'm not. I just don't understand.
Yeah, no, that's what it sounds like you're saying. You're just saying like they're just going to put in a half-assed effort.
I'm not saying that they're going to put in a half-assed effort, but I don't see how one is like how one scenario is more prideful than the other.
I don't know.
Like, I would take more pride in knocking my division rival down to the five seed than just keeping him out of the one seed all. Like, yeah, keeping that
okay,
one
so,
seed all together.
So,
yeah, that's one thing.
Before we end, because
down to the five seed.
I just want to point out our producer, Adam, who's here as a force ghost, is telling us to hurry up. I just want to say really overall, like just one thing. It doesn't really matter. It really doesn't. About, I'm Chris and the stakes are lower. Like, I get it. I do. However, but you're telling me that the Vikings, because it came second their division, were less deserving of home field advantage than the Buccaneers. Really? Or like like any team that came from that hellhole known as the NFC South. That's really what this is about. Like, oh yeah, sure, the Bucs made it, despite the fact they skidded into the playoffs by the skin of their teeth. Like, I don't see it. Like, why?
Like, yeah, I can agree with that. Like, yeah, the Vikings are more deserving of a home playoff game, but win your games at that point. Win your games within the division.
Literally just doesn't apply to Tampa, or like I said, or the 7-9 Seahawks, or that one year the Panthers went like, 7-9 or 8-8. And we're like still the four seed. Why should mediocrity and sometimes downright bad teams literally be guaranteed home field advantage? That's actually what's not right.
Because sometimes it doesn't matter, because you got a team like the Washington Commanders walk into Tampa and feed them their lunch.
That would have been the same result wherever, but no, we have to move on because Adam's getting agitated, but still, I disagree.
Either way, I hope that they don't change the playoff format.
They're not gonna.
That's all the scheduled content that we have today. There was actually one other thing I wanted to throw out there real quick, because we did talk about this earlier this week, because Jamar Chase and T. Higgins both got their contract extensions, right?
Yeah.
The details of the contracts just got released, and the T. Higgins contract is actually a much more team-friendly deal than you would have expected.
Well, yeah, he wanted to stay in Cincinnati.
There's that. And the way that the contract breakdown is, there's a lot of unguaranteed money that's actually out there that T. Higgins may or may not be getting. Along with, there's a lot of incentive-based stuff. And there's more room for the Bengals to opt out of the contract. Like, the Bengals, like, T. Higgins could play 2025. The Bengals could opt out of his contract after that season and not lose any money.
I don't know, but still not great, because he's probably going to get it unless they, like, try to make sure he doesn't. I mean, sometimes teams do that.
No, for sure. But the point being, though, it makes it easier for them to try to retain Trey Hendrickson, though, at that point.
And then what? But whatever. We're When
you look at what the Bengals are trying to do, it kind of makes sense, but they're still paying a bunch of money to whatever.
Yeah, it's going to hurt them regardless. So
yeah, it'll hurt them. Thank you for tuning in. Apologies for the episode not being posted to Spotify or Apple Podcasts and whatnot for our last episode. We're having a lot of technical difficulties. But of course, thank you for tuning in today. New episode coming out on Tuesday at 7:30. We'll make sure it actually gets out as well on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Spreaker, and so much more, along with our YouTube channel. Be sure to subscribe to that. Be sure to also follow our Instagram, Bumbaruski_podcast, to keep up with the pod and the latest coverage on the NFL. Otherwise, for myself, Chris Kostich, he's CJ Medeiros, our producer, Adam Wright. We will see you on Tuesday. Over and out.